We need to just do that like we did this morning, and God will pass by again. But I wanted to brag on Greg what a fine lesson he brought this morning. Yeah. I'm glad that God passed by this morning. And if we be mindful of him and do what our part we need to do, that he'll do his part. So we had a wonderful time this morning, and I just want to thank him for what he did for us this morning, Rob. And so we just want to welcome everybody, and if you would, we'll just praise him tonight and honor him. So we want to welcome everybody out in the house of the Lord here this evening. So make yourself right at home. Brother Jimmy, would you stand and ask a blessing on our service? If anybody just has a testimony, feel free, and the altar's always open. And I called and checked on my daughter today. They live up in Grant County, but they're over in Petersburg. They had a bad storm up there last night, and over at Harmon and over in there, it's all flooded. It's a mess over there. And Seneca Rocks, it's all flooded. So remember all those people over there. And there's a lot of campgrounds through there, and I'm sure there's probably a lot of people there, so just remember them also when we pray here directly. So, but mind the Spirit of the Lord. The altar's always open if you have a need, and we're going to let Chris got a choir here ready to go.
62.
that's done went on, Joe, we'll get to be with them again.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Donnie, while we're talking about that subject, I was hoping the choir might sing while the agents are on.
That's funny. I'll just get ready to get my book and turn to that page.
Hey. That's what listen to the words of that song. I was thinking about Joe and his sister, what she's doing now, and I will be praising him.
78.
Well, the ages roll.
Sure.
We'll just keep on praising him. We won't get tired. It says our voice will never tire or grow old. And our song will ever be praise the Lamb and God for me. And we'll sing it while the ages shall roll. Listen to the words of this song.
Amen.
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 78. Everybody got it, right?
Come on.
Number eight. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer. ever blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and thy will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Barry, would you get the anchor holds ready for Chris? He needs to sweat a little bit more. He hadn't been here to sweat very much lately, so we want him to sweat a little bit. But I was thinking this morning how that service we had and people praising and thanking the Lord for what they done for him. And I thought of this song when I was on my ride up to Morgantown before I had my heart surgery. And that's what God revealed to me on the way up in that ambulance that the anchor holds. I was thinking of that today. I thought, boy, he surely does hold him. When we're in a time of need, Rob, he's right there for us. I love him and appreciate that for what he did for me and how he's blessed me. Even when we're sick, we can still be blessed. As y'all listen, as Chris sings this song. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions and I've had dreams and I've them in my hands. But I never knew that they would slip right through, just like they were only grains of sand. The anchor holds.
the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn, and I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have been young, I'm much older now, and eyes have seen, but it was in the night, through the storms of my life. Oh, that's where God proved His love. Though this ship's been battered, the anchor it holds, though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face
storms, and the anchor still there holding. Amen. I've faced it a lot of times, and I'm glad I had the Lord to walk with me through it all. Amen. Anybody else got a word for the Lord? Not Brother Rob. Come on. Brother Al, would you pray for the message?
Robbie, give him our Father the message that's needed for me. Anoint him, our Father, and use him to your glory, that we'll not hear Robbie, but we'll hear the Lord speaking through him. In Christ's name. Amen.
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 Good evening.
Good evening.
Is everybody finished? Something you didn't say, maybe that you want to say.
Robbie, I'd just like to say something about that little girl that sang this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I caught him as they were coming in the driveway a while ago, and I said, Briar, you did an excellent job. And I told Jennifer, she did all right. Briar did an excellent job. You know, I'm proud of the way they're raising those kids.
Right, right.
And I'm proud of this church, the way they're helping raise those kids.
Right.
Proud of God most of all for saving.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? If not, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Does that mean talk? Is that what that means? Okay. He's up here doing this, sign language. Talk. Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. Are we good? Is everything good? All right, two thumbs up. If you would, stand while we read God's word, please. Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. It says, And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was all alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of truth, thou art the Son of God. You may be seated. Just for a few minutes, take heed to Trenton's words this morning. Short to the point. I'm going to do my best. I told Lori, I should have never said that. I told Lori, you should never start with that. Because then if you aren't short enough for some people, they're going to say, Why didn't you listen to your own words? Been there, done that. It was pointed out to me one time, right? Been there. Said out just a few minutes, and someone said, Well, that was longer than a few minutes. So, Lord willing, will just be a few minutes. And even if we're 3.5 hours in the span of the ages that'll roll, it'll be short, right? But just for a few minutes, let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 21 through 33. See what God has for us. I want to look at something first. If we go back up to 14:21, point something out to you. Jesus tells his disciples, let me get you to this point. You know what just happened? He just fed 5,000. Fed 5,000, a couple of fish, a couple of loaves of bread, just a few. Preached to them, taught them, healed them, and then fed them. And then at this point, Jesus says, and so after they had all eaten, 5,000 plus, Jesus, the Bible says in verse 22, Jesus straightway constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side. And they got into the ship and they went. Now look at this. Jesus told them what to do. Jesus gave him instruction. Jesus gave him a commandment. Jesus said, I want you to get in the boat and I want you to go to the other side. So the Bible says, tells us that they got in the boat. And we see that later because they're in the boat. But I want you to see something here. Jesus let them know his will for their life and they did his will. I want you to take note of that because we're going to come back to that in a minute. Jesus told them and they obeyed. That ought to be your goal. That ought to be my goal. That ought to be our whole goal in life is to be in the will of God. Our goal should be that we're always right in the middle of his will. This is the number one thing for you in the Lord, to be in the center of his will. To be doing what he wants you to do. To be doing it where he wants you to do. To be doing what exactly he wants you to do. To be walking and talking just as he wants you to walk and talk. If we can go to the next one, Romans 12. The Bible says it like this. You may think, well, what is the will of God for me? What is the will of God for me? I don't know. Well, Paul told us in a short sentence, in a short verse right here. If you look at this, he says, and I'm only going to touch on one thing because I don't want to be long. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now, he's not talking to the non-Christians. So if you're not saved in here right now, just go ahead and dial out. We'll come back to you in a minute. He's talking to the Christians, to you and me. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, and this is it, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to focus on one thing for just a minute, because we can go through this whole verse and spend hours, but let me show you one thing. I present your bodies I want you to look at this, living. You know what God's will for you is? To stay alive. His will is for you to stay alive. That's God's will for you. Just stay alive and work for Him. Just stay alive. Do all that you can do to stay alive. Keep breathing. Someone said just when you stop breathing, you die. So just keep breathing. It's simple. What's God's will? If you don't know what God's will is and you think, Rob, I don't know. God's never told me. Well, His will is for you to be living. That's His first will. First of all, be living, all right? So don't die, right? How many of us want to do that will? Stay alive. That should be an easy goal, right? Do all that you can do to stay alive. Then he goes on to say, a living sacrifice. So sacrifice your life, but stay alive. Stay holy and stay alive. Acceptable unto God, staying alive, which is your reasonable service. He says it like this, God doesn't ask much. So I'm thinking in that, what is not much is just staying alive. He says, just stay alive and then take care of the rest of it as we go. Just keep yourself alive, keep yourself holy, keep yourself acceptable unto God, and He's going to help you with that. But you know what? We don't always do that. We don't always stay there. This is what God wants you to do. Because He wants you to represent Him. And that's what that whole verse says. Stay alive and then go represent me. So when you represent God, He's holy. He acceptable unto Him. Live as He would. So do this so that people will see Jesus in you. That's God's will. Do what you think Jesus would do. Do what you know Jesus would do. But we don't always do that. Sometimes, this next verse tells us that everybody has sinned. Romans 3:26 says, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're going to fail. I'm going to fail. We are going to fail. There's going to be times where we just don't quite make it. We just don't quite add up. We just don't measure up. The bar is here and we're here. That's going to happen. And God knows that. God knew that. That's why He said, you know what? All have sinned and come short. And that all includes you, that all includes me, that all includes everybody. Each person that gets saved, one day after will fail, will sin, will make a mistake. One day you're not going to, we're not going to keep the will of God. We're going to step outside of the will of God. Maybe He says go straight and I turn right. Maybe He says turn left and I go straight. Maybe He says do this but you do that. Some point He knew you and I are going to not quite measure up. We're not going to make it. God knew that ahead of time. That's why Jesus, the Bible says, came to die. That when the fullness of time had come, when the moment came that He had to come, He had to die for you and for me because He knew that we weren't going to make it. The Bible says that the law was made so that we would know that we couldn't make it. That's what the law did. The law was made and pointed out that you and I are not good enough. We're going to break one. The Bible says you break one, you break them all. Anybody in here ever told a lie? The rest of you just did, all right? So let's ask that again. Anybody in here ever tell a lie? We all can raise your hand. When you break one, you break them all. So we're all bound for hell. We're doomed. We're done. It's over. Let's just shut her up and go home, right? No, because Matthew 6:6 says this. That's not the one I meant to put there. That is not the one I meant to put there. Let me tell you. Leave it there, though. No, leave it there. I didn't give this one to you. Romans 5:20 says this. Let me turn there. I'm going to read that to you. Romans 5:20. If you want to turn there real quick. Leave that one up there, though. All right, we're going to get there. Romans 5:20 says it like this. Because He knew you were going to sin, so when you sin, He says this in Romans 5:20. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law pointed out that we aren't good enough. The law pointed out that we're going to fall short. The law pointed out that we're all going to sin. The law pointed out we're not going to be glorious as God wants us to be glorious. But He says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He said, you know what? Sin's going to be there. It's going to be in this world. It's going to be in your life. But know this, that when sin comes, grace is greater. When sin comes, grace came next. When sin comes, I offer to you forgiveness. He said, do it like this. When you sin, repent. When you sin, come to me, knowing that though sin is big, grace is greater. Though sin is big, grace is bigger. Though sin is strong, grace is stronger. Greater is He that is in you, that is in me, that is in us, that is in the church, than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in grace than he that is in sin. Greater is God than the devil. Greater is God than your enemy. Greater is God than you. Greater is God than me. So when I do wrong, when you do wrong, when we do wrong, God says, though sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So He said it like this. Know this, count on me, walk in me, talk in me, stay in my will, and when you fall out of my will, my grace will bring you back to my will. But in this Matthew, it says that they got in the boat. They got in the boat right in the center of the will of God. If you want to put Matthew back up there, that'd be good. We'll come back to that later. Now, let me ask you this. Don't answer by raising your hand. Are you right in the middle of God's will right now? Are you in the center of God's will? Are you doing what God wants you? Tonight, let me ask you this. Tonight, did you praise God the way God wants you to praise Him? Or wanted you to praise Him? Did I praise God the way I should have praised God? Because like J.R. told us, and like Trenton told us, when we come in here, we come in to worship and praise. That's what we come in here for. Did I do that? Did you do that? Did we do that? Because that's God's will for you and for me. So we see that they did just what Jesus told them to do. Now, in verse 23 of Matthew 14, he says this. It says, and when he had sent them all to the way to pray, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was alone. Jesus many times got alone to pray. Jesus many times went away to pray. Jesus many times separated himself to pray, to get with God. Now, go ahead and leave that there, because it says it like this. Jesus says in Matthew, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When you pray, get away in secret, in silence. Get alone. Get apart. Set yourself apart. And when you shut the door, what he's saying is shut things out. Get alone with God. Why? Because with God, when you're alone, get away from the distractions. And Trenton talked about it this morning. But I thought about it like this. What distractions are there? What distractions are there? There's my text. Right? Sorry. There's my text. What happens when you get a text? What does your phone do? It beeps, it dings, it buzzes, it does whatever. It makes a noise, right? So you get away from the text. Get away. What's that phone do when someone calls you? Get away from the ring, right? Who's on Facebook? All right, when you get a message, is there a thing on your phone that says, you got a message, like ding, buzz, clink, chank, blank, whatever, right? When you get a snap champ, right? Love that commercial. When you get a snap back, does it make a noise? On Instagram, does it make a noise? Getting away, I don't know either. When he says get away, when Jesus got away, he got apart from everything. He got alone from all distractions. Why is that? Because you can then focus, like Trent said, focus on God. When you and I get apart and get alone and set ourselves to focus, because of course, when someone texts me, don't I have to text back? How many of us, if you want to raise your hand, when you text somebody, if you don't get an immediate text back, think, what are they doing? Why have they not text? Anybody got this? Did you see my text? Anybody ever get one of those, a text after text, ask me if I saw the other text? If I didn't see the first one, would I see the second one? And if I saw the first one, am I going to answer the second one and say, well, I sure did. I'm just ignoring you. That would be rude, right? We're not rude people. So if I get a text or a snap or a Facebook or an Instagram or whatever, of course, if I don't answer back, I seem rude. So I have to, right? I have to not seem rude. So I do it. So Jesus says, God says, get alone, get separate, get apart, set yourself, follow my example and take yourself away from everything and everybody. Let me tell you. I thought about this. How many times do you know Jesus got apart from yourself? Well, let's answer that question in just a few. Luke 9:18 says, and it came to pass as Jesus was alone praying. There's one, alone praying. Luke 6:12 says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray. Now get this, Al, and continued all night praying to God. Prayed all night long by himself to God. Talked to God for the whole night through. Apart by himself, just him and God, him and the Father. Matthew 26:39, in the garden, the night before he got crucified, he took the disciples to the garden, said, you all sit here. Peter, James, and John took him farther and said, you sit here. And the Bible says he went a little farther alone and fell on his face and prayed alone. because he needed strength for what was about to come. When you need strength, when I need strength, when we need to, when we need answers, when I need encouragement, go to God. Now, what might happen when you and I go to prayer, but go to God? When we get alone and we focus and we just talk to God about what God wants to talk about, or what I need to talk about to God, when I separate myself apart from all the world and I say, God, it's just me and it's just you. It's just me and it's just you. Nothing else, no one else, no distractions, going to focus on you. What might happen? Because prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes circumstances. Prayer changes situations. And many times, some of the time, if not most of the time, the thing that gets changed is us. You, we, me, I. We're the thing that God changes. And it's amazing when he changes me, how the world changes. Funny how that happens. You know, maybe the circumstances didn't change at all. Maybe the situation didn't change at all. Maybe the people didn't change at all. But when God changes me and my attitude and my spirit, it looks different. It looks different. Because what he does, he gets us looking through his glasses. Through his glasses. Through his set of eyes. Not mine. Not natural. And things become a little more clear spiritually. So when we go to prayer, what might happen? We just might change. The Bible says, one time Jesus went to pray. The Bible says in Luke 9:28, it says, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, as Jesus prayed, the Bible says this. As he prayed, his fashion was altered. Now, let me get it straight. The Bible says, as he prayed, his countenance was altered. Anybody ever felt like when you pray, your countenance changes? When you get in the presence of God, you change? Now, here's what it says about Jesus in this moment. You're going to recognize where this is at in a minute. It says, as he prayed, his countenance changed. It was altered. And his fashion became white and glistening. He changed into the gloriousness that he is right now. As he prayed in that moment, as he was alone praying with God on that mountain, they from a distance saw him change into the body that he is right now. You see, God showed John the future, but he showed Peter, James, and John the future Jesus. As he is right now in this moment, they saw him because as he prayed, he changed. And God transfigured him and set him the way he's going to be. And they saw. And you know what? When we focus on God, he can change us. He can speak to us. He can get through to us. He can get us to hear what he wants us to hear. He can get us to hear his voice. And in those moments when we're alone with God and we're quiet with God, God can speak and we can hear. We can hear. Because many times in this world, the Bible says there's other spirits out there, other voices that we hear that's not God. Now, you know God's voice if you've been saved very long, but those other spirits hinder us. Just like Trent told us this morning, those other spirits, those other voices try to get in the way of God's voice and what he's telling us, what he wants us to hear. So when I'm out there and I'm don't separate. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray in the middle of noise. By all means, you can pray in the middle of any place. You can pray sitting at your desk. You can pray sitting at your lunch table. You can pray going down the road in your car. You can pray in the midst of a crowd, and God hears, and you can hear. But when we get alone with God, when we set ourselves apart from with God, when we get distractions out, God's voice can be more clear than ever. And we sometimes can hear better when we can't hear anything else. When we can't hear anything else. You know, sometimes silence, and I'm going to prove this to you. Silence brings about focus. All right? You're driving down the road. You're not sure where you need to turn, but it's coming up. The radio's blaring. You're driving. You got to find this road. What do? You turn the radio off. Why? What's the radio and my ears got to do with my eyes seeing something? I don't know, but how many of you do it? Yeah, the radio, the confusion from the radio apparently makes our eyes not see well. Imagine what the radio does to my spirit when God's trying to talk. That's why getting alone with Jesus, getting quiet, getting apart, getting in that closet, shutting the door behind you, getting with just God helps us focus more. Just like turning the radio down, turning the world down, brings about focus in prayer. Focus in prayer. So Jesus said, I get alone, you should too. Now verse 24 says this, now the ship at this time, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind was contrary. Got a big storm. But I like to look at other scriptures, other accounts of the story and see what they have to say, because look at this. The Bible in Matthew 6:48 says this, Jesus saw them toiling in their rowing. Now, they were professional fishermen, so they knew how to be out on the water. They knew how to handle a boat. But the Bible says at this time that it was hard. It was toiling. It was rough. They were having a hard time keeping the boat under control, not sinking. Why? Because in John 6, it says this, it was now dark, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So the wind was blowing, it was dark, the waves were big, they were having problems, and Jesus saw this. But I want you to remember something. What did I tell you to remember? What did I tell you to take note of? Where were they spiritually? In the middle of God's will. They were right in the middle of God's will, doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. They couldn't have been doing anything different and being in His will, because they were right where God said to do. Now listen, they were in God's will, and still a storm rose in their life. In the middle of God's will, still a storm rode. Bad things happen. Something bad happened to these good people. They were following God's will. They were doing what Jesus said to do. They were right in the middle, doing exactly, and a bad thing happened. Why? Because bad things happen to good people, right? Matthew 5:45. Do we have that one up there? Matthew 5:45 says this. Why do bad things happen to good people? The same reason that good things happen to bad people. You ever think about that? Why do bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? Because in Matthew 5:45, it says this. And I want you to take a look at this. And notice, God is in total control of this. God is in total control. It says, God makes His son. He owns the son, right? The son is His. The son is not mine. It's not yours. It's not ours. The son is His. The Bible says in Matthew 5:45 that God makes His son to rise on the evil and on the good. Right there, 5:45. I must have skipped two. 5:45. He makes His son to rise on the evil. What's that mean? What does His son represent? Good. He makes good things happen to everybody, whether we like it or not. If you're evil in this world, good things will happen to you. Why? Because God sees to it that good things happen to everybody. His son, doing the good, rises on the evil as well as the good. Now what else? His reign, He sends it. Right? God's in control here, people. God's in total control here. He makes His son to rise, and He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Right there. This just tells you that good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people, and vice versa. Why? Because God lets it happen. It's a part of God's will that good things happen in this world. Why is that? If He never let anything good happen to me when I wasn't saved, why would I want anything to do with Him? It draws people into Him when good things happen, and they don't have control of it. And they don't have control of it, right? So I was, you know the story. I was bored one night when I was in high school. And long story short, I walked on a fence and I fell on top of this fence, right? And that's why I have this big scar all down my neck, because it gashed my neck out. And I wasn't serving God right now, right? I wasn't serving God. The last thing in my mind was serving God. But I was walking on this fence, fell down midnight. Nothing good happens after dark, right? Well, it didn't this night, I'll tell you that. Remember that, people, young people, old people, everybody people. So I fell down on this fence, it gashed it out, and I was this close to dying right there. What do you mean? My artery was exposed in the wound. My artery was exposed in the wound. The doctor, when I get there, he opens it up and says, oh my goodness, why are you over here and why are you not on the other side? Because it was supposed to be so serious. But then he stopped long enough to take pictures and show other people. I don't know. I wasn't dead, so I didn't care. But God didn't have to keep me from dying that day. One more micromillimeter or whatever, and I was gone. But God said, not right now. Good things happen to bad people, and that draws to God. Bad things happen to good people, and that's just the world. That's just the way it happens. God himself said, I'm in control, and I make it happen. I make my sun to rise on the evil. I make my sun to rise on the good. I make the rain to fall on the just, and I make the rain to fall on the unjust. Good things happen to bad people. Good things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people, and bad things happen to bad people. That's just the world. But that's the way the world is. But God himself is in control. That's why they were in the middle of God's will, yet bad things happen. Bad things, not like Job's friends, right? You know Job, right? He had all that stuff God let the devil do to him. And his friends looked at him, and what did his friends say? Well, you must have sinned is why all this bad stuff's happening. It's your fault. It's your sin. You told that lie, now this is happening. That's not what God said. God said, I just let bad things happen. Now, sin does cause bad things. It can cause bad things, but not all bad things are just caused because somebody sinned. Because God says good times happen and bad times happen. Get used to it. It's life. Live it. But stick with me. Stick with me. Bad things happen. Even when you're in the middle of God's will, things will happen. Why? Because the devil wants you out of God's will. The world wants you out of God's will. And they're going to do what they can do to get you out of God's will. But just do what you can do to stay in God's will. Focus yourself. Focus yourself, stick with God, and God will help you stay in his will. We veer out, but God says, I'm going to help you stay right here, right in the middle of my will. I'm going to do all I can do to help you if you'll do all you can do. Now, that's going to happen, but just know this. Jesus overcame this world, so will you. Jesus overcame sin, so will you. Jesus overcame the flesh, so can you. So will you. If you walk with God, if I walk with God, if I stick with God, they stuck with Jesus. So, in the middle of doing God's will, bad things happen. But look at verse 27, says this. Straightway, Jesus spake unto them. Straightway, Jesus spake. Jesus spoke a word in the middle of it all. In the middle of their storm, in the middle of their struggle, Jesus spoke. Now, I'm going to say a lot here because that says it all right there. Jesus, in the midst of it all, in the midst of what? Of everything you'll ever go through. In the midst of your life, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your temptations, in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your battles, in the midst of your fight, Jesus can and Jesus will speak to you. He'll speak. He spoke to the group here. He spoke to them all. They were all afraid. And Jesus speaks a word to calm them all down. Jesus speaks to the group, to the crowd, to the congregation as a whole. Every time someone's up here preaching, every time someone's up here teaching, God is here and speaking if we're listening. God is here and speaking to me if I'm listening. He speaks to the whole congregation, but the question is, who will hear it? The answer is, whoever's listening for it. Trenton asked us this morning, ever been in a service where you didn't get anything out of? Then what did he tell us? Whose fault is that? Mine. Ouch. You said, I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes. Don't be sorry. I should be sorry. Because if I didn't do wrong, you couldn't step on my toes. So, good job. Good job. Who hears it? Whoever's listening. Who doesn't get anything? Those who've tuned out. Those who've tuned out. So Jesus speaks to the whole. He speaks to the crowd. He speaks to everybody. Could be a thunder. The Bible says many times, God speaking sounded like thunder. God speaking was a small breeze. God speaking was a still voice. God speaking as many waters. God speaking as fire. God speaking, but did anybody listen? Jesus will speak. So he came to them, and they were afraid. And he just speaks the word. He says, be of good cheer. Have courage. It's I. Who was listening? who was listening. And I'm close to being done, if we getting there. Who was listening? Who do we give a bad rap to among the apostles? Because he does a lot of dumb things. Peter. But I think he does more good things than he does dumb things. I like Peter. Peter is the one that heard. He spoke to the congregation, but only one responded. And I think about that. I come to church. We come to church, service after service, and the preacher preaches, the teacher teaches, and God speaks. God's word goes out and God speaks. But how many of us hear and how many of us respond? He spoke to them all, but only one heard and responded. Verse 28 to 31, we see this go on. Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come." So Peter says, "I hear you, God. I hear what you're saying. I hear you talking to me. I know it's you. I have faith that it's you. I just need you to give me a word." He says, "God, I know that that's you walking and talking. I can feel in your voice. I can feel the calmness. I can feel the strength. I can feel the comfort. I can feel the courage. I can feel the boldness. Now, if it's you, bid me come." Jesus says this to him, "Come." Peter hears and responds. You know, it's more important to respond than it is to hear. Now, you can't respond without hearing, but how many of us hear without responding? How many of us go through church service after church service and hear God and don't respond? Now, it could be something as simple as he says, "Testify," and I don't. Or it could be something as simple as he says, "Go pray," and I don't. Something as simple as he says, "Go hug somebody," and I don't. How many of us hear and don't respond? Don't answer this. Have you sat through a service and felt like you should pray, but you didn't? Why? And I've done it. Why? Well, maybe, who knows what they'll think. All right, so I've done this. I said, you know, didn't get up. Pastor Al says, "Anybody need to pray?" So I don't get up and pray. Then he says, "Well, maybe you've done something you need to pray for." And I think, well, if I go pray now, they're going to think I've done something I need to go pray for. I really just need help in something, but now they're going to think, or if you're lost, come pray. Well, now they're going to think I'm lost if I go pray. I can't go pray now. Everybody's going to think, well, he's backslid. He's not in God's will. He's dying and going to hell. I can't do that. I should not worry about what they think. That's exactly right. You're exactly right. Amen. And can I tell you something? This morning, I should have prayed right off the bat. Trent, I should have prayed. Your message hit me. I should have prayed, and I didn't. And she sang a whole verse, and I should have prayed, and I didn't. And I thought in that second verse, here's what I thought. I can't go pray now because what if I get done before, or what if she gets done before I get done? What's going to happen? I'm just being honest with you. These are the thoughts in my head when I'm sitting back there. What if I pray and she gets done and I don't? Then what? What is she going to do now? What's going to happen? Right? So I got done, right? And I went back. She got done. And Al felt led to keep it going. So I could have prayed for another whole song. Not that I needed to, but that I didn't need to worry about that because it was going to go on anyway. How many of us put it off until it's too late or we think it's too late or it's going to look bad on us? How many of us do that? I do that. I did that this morning. But God says, just don't worry about what they think. Just come to me. Just come right up here and listen to me. Respond. It's kind of like, I'm sorry, you might want to sit down, I'm sorry. Reminds me of a true story. It's on the internet, you can read it. True story. And we had this discussion in my house, if it's on the internet, it's true. If we had also had that at work, if it's on the internet, it's true. That might be where we had it. If you read on the internet, it's true, right? Yes, okay, so there was a person and it started to flood. Right? You probably heard this story. It's true. You might have saw it on the news. I don't know. There was a person. It was starting to flood, right? And this person's there, and the water's getting high, and along comes this big monster truck and says, "All right, hop in. Let's go. I got you." They said, "Nope, God's going to save me." And it's okay. On the way he goes. Rises higher and higher. Along comes a boat. It says, "Hop in. We'll get you." Says, "Nope, God's going to save me. We got this." So the boat goes on. It gets higher and higher. They're on the roof, and it's at the roof. Helicopter comes and drops down a ladder and says, "Hop on." And they says, "Nope, God's going to save me. We're good." Helicopter goes on. Water rises. Person drowns. stands before God and he says, why didn't you save me? God says, I sent a truck, a boat, and a helicopter. What else do I need to do? Respond to me. It's about responding when I hear. Don't tell the truck to go by, hop in. Don't bypass the safety boat, hop in. And if you put it off to the very last minute, grab the helicopter's ladder by all means. Grab a hold of God. But when he speaks, listen for it. And when you hear it, respond. Whatever is needed from God, respond. As we stand, if you need to respond to God from Trenton's message, it's not too late. If you need to respond to God about something in your life, it's not too late. Just know this, now is better than never. Sooner is better than later. And before I die beats after anytime. So tonight, if you need Jesus, come get him. Come talk to him. Come grab a hold of him.
Page 193.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling.
If there's anyone here that should have prayed maybe last Sunday, maybe Wednesday, maybe this morning, maybe this evening, you should have, but you didn't. I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call you out, I'm not going to point you out. I'm just going to pray for you. I should have prayed about something, but I didn't. If you raise your hand, bless the hand, bless that person. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. We're just going to play for a minute. And let the Spirit talk. Let the Spirit minister. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, God, we just want to come to you right now. Lord, we want to thank you for you being you, Father. Thank you, God, that you hear us, that you listen to us, that you speak to us. Father, ones came and prayed, and you heard that prayer. And I thank you, God, that you will answer that, that you both have the ability and the willingness. And God, I thank you that you will be there for them, giving what they need to get, taking what they need to give, helping in the situation. God, there were hands that went up that said I should have, but I didn't come and pray. Lord, help them. Comfort them. Lord, let them know that you know. Let them know that you understand. And you're still there for them. God, prayer doesn't have to happen in a building. It can happen in a car, in a bedroom, in the shower, in the closet, in the yard. Let them know that you're there. God, I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy, and for all your blessings. We just praise your holy name tonight, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. And amen. Does anybody have anything you want to say? Do we have the offering things? Any young people want to stand in the back and take up offering? By young, I mean younger than 182. Any?
Oh, yeah. We need to have a quick board meeting.
Okay.
Okay. We'll gather up front here right after and just take just a few minutes.
Quick board meeting right up front where Pastor Al's sitting. Anybody else got anything?